This week in Your Apparent Spaceman, we're using our rope and grappling hook to explore a colorful world as we play Umihara Kuwazi by TNN for the Super Nintendo. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the man who likes to store fish in his rucksack. It's Huell Hauser.
I gotta stretch that fishing line.
And our other regular co-host, he likes to hook his fishing line into all sorts of nooks and crannies. It's Todd Brisket.
Umihara Kawase is a girl who uses a fishing hook as a grappling hook.
Mm.
Yes, I think we all kind of seized upon that point, sounds like. So you know, this popular podcast guy, Chris Hardywicks, he wanted to get on this episode. But we said, no, we don't like them fake nerds. No fake nerds on our show.
Mm.
So instead, we're joined by a different special guest. He's the co-host of the Vaguely Entertaining Podcast, and he's been a listener for a couple months now. It's friend of the show, Kyle.
Umihara Kawase is quite good at hooking.
I don't know if that. I think this is a young Japanese girl. I don't know if that's appropriate to say.
It's literally
now.
Yeah. Literally what happens in the game.
I'm uncomfortable. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. Wow, you think it's loud. But it's an important message. Please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at ypbpodcast.com. Christmas is just around the corner, after all. Make sure that under that tree, under that menorah, there are all sorts of prezzies for sweet baby boys and sweet baby girls. Oh.
Smooth as silk.
Oh, man. Sorry, I keep opening and closing the window and music from the other room coming in, apparently. Mm. Yeah. This week's game is Umihara Kuwazi. Released in 1994 by TNN, this game is a unique action puzzle game that's very popular in the speedrunning community because of its physics, its difficulty, and multiple routes through the game. In this one, you play as the title character who's trying to find her way home through the world via various doors. As you get deeper into the various levels, the difficulty scales up, but as you gain skill, it also opens the world up, and you can do things like beat the game in 5 minutes or less. Kyle, you once nominated this game for coverage in an email to the show. So did you have any experience with this one coming into things?
Only very limited experience. It's too difficult for me to play.
You've just described like every game we've covered on the show. Like basically like NBA Jam was the one, the one show.
It was golden.
The one game we could actually beat a little bit. So how had you heard of this one? Had you just heard about it on the internet or like seen the speedrun or something? Or
once I found out about ROMs, a few years ago, I looked up games that were only available in Japan, like the good ones, and this one was at like the top of the list.
Mm.
Yeah, this is a quite an underground indie darling.
Yeah, it's odd. I had seen speedruns of this one before, but I had never actually played it until this week.
Now, I gotta say, I was excited for this episode because I just couldn't wait to hear how Steve was gonna pronounce the name of this game.
That was a hotly anticipated moment. Yeah,
and a little peek behind the curtain. He has it spelled out phonetically everywhere in his document.
I don't even know if that's the correct pronunciation.
And it's not even the correct pronunciation.
Well, would someone here be able to tell us?
Well, I know a friend of the show, Kyle, is a huge anime freak.
Yep.
From what I've heard on his show. So he's probably a Japanese expert. But this is how I would say it. Umihara Kawase.
Oh,
yeah, that's accurate.
Well, perfect.
Yeah, that sounds exactly what I've been saying. No different.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't look for the pronunciation at all. I kind of thought it'd be funnier if I didn't. So.
No, it's perfect.
Yeah. But no, the actual action of this game, it was kind of fun. I liked it.
Yeah, I think it's unique enough to be an interesting experience. So, Kyle, had you played this at all before the show?
Yeah,
Before you had signed on as a guest.
Yeah, I only got to the first boss and I couldn't beat him. So,
is that the giant tadpole?
Oh, yeah, no. The giant tadpole.
Wow!
Yeah, I got to say the enemies in this thing are crazy. Like it's like fishmen and and squids and eels just walking around on land.
Yeah, it's an entirely fish and fishing based world that apparently Umihara lives in.
Yes, it was odd. I was not really expecting that to be the backdrop of this game. That was quite a bit.
It's probably got some deep, dark, disturbing background to this story. I mean, I didn't read the manual, Huel. I don't know if you did, but
I looked at the manual, but I cannot tell you I read the manual.
Yeah, I can only assume the story behind this one because what I assume is that it's some girl from Japan, of course, and she's been kidnapped, and her only escape from the torture she faces every day is to pretend that she's fighting fishmen with a fishing line.
What?
Yeah. I don't know if it's pretend. She's
trying to escape in her mind. The whole game takes place in her mind.
Oh.
She's trying to escape the real life.
I
don't know if that's quite true.
Oh, you live in the real world with giant pencils and rulers and fishmen?
Yeah, eels that walk and octopi that can squirt ink in the air.
Oh, those
squirted it.
Squirt that. Yeah, that totally happens.
And infinite space backpacks.
Yeah,
true. Exactly. Yeah. How many fishmen can she put in that thing?
How many carcasses can she shove in there?
Well, you see, it's not a backpack; it's a rucksack.
Oh, that explains so much.
At least that's what Wikipedia called it. So, and Wikipedia never lies. So,
yeah, that's true. And, I mean, we all know rucksacks do contain more than backpacks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, one thing I really like about this game is it's very simple in concept, but high in execution. Like, there's only two buttons besides the directional pad. There's only two buttons you use. You have throw out your fishing line and jump, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And in combination of those two buttons and the directional pad, you have all the bunging you can do, reeling in, reeling out, and flying around doing tricks and stuff. So it's very deep. On a simple setup.
Yeah, I could assume watching speedruns of this is either it probably looks really impressive and does not portray how hard it actually is. As far as like getting across the levels and not falling to your death.
Yeah, like watching the speedruns, this looks like, oh, this is a fun, smooth little game here.
Yeah.
And actually playing it, I struggled pretty much the entire time.
Yeah, I think I got to stage, I want to say 8.
I get to the stage after the boss.
Okay, I never actually got to the boss. This felt like a game where there were no bosses, but apparently there are.
Yep. Yes.
Six like, bosses.
Six.
Do you have a list handy? I didn't look them up. I never only got past the first one myself.
I didn't look up like the names, but out of the 49 levels, 6 of them are boss levels.
Yeah, no, I had to look up how to beat the boss, though.
Yep.
And in the process, I learned that I was playing this game wrong, that you can, like, that you can like crouch down and plant the hook and then like walk over a ledge, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah. Did because you notice
that's how you beat the boss basically. You have to do that because then he'll walk the other way and drop some tadpoles and then you gotta scoop up them tadpoles.
Squirts out tadpoles?
Yes, he does.
Oh.
Squirts them right out.
Well, you saw the little move tutorials before the first few levels, right?
Kind of. I mean, I don't always pay attention to in-game tutorials.
Well, like, I don't want to call it a tutorial, but they do like a little demo of like a new skill you could try out with your fishing line.
Yeah. I saw the first couple stages, like, and then I was like, I got this game. Don't worry.
Huh.
I know physics. I live in the world.
Look at this guy over here with his physics.
Mr. Grablin Hook. He uses one every day.
I got a 71 in high school physics and then failed the second semester. But still, I feel like that half a semester, I got what I need.
How do you remember what grade you got?
Oh, because I needed... Because if you got a D, it didn't count as a requirement for my high school graduations.
Oh.
Like you had to get a C minus or better. So
doesn't make sense. Why don't they just make a D and F?
Well,
it's a sliding scale of doom.
Well, the idea is if you got a D, you could like improve your grade normally by doing extra work or something like that. But I didn't have interest in that.
D means that you gave some effort and still failed it.
Yes.
You tried and failed.
Yes. And, you know, it was also like, I feel like I could have actually done the work. But I, you know, I just wanted
to
do just enough.
He was too busy cruising and picking up chicks, man.
Cruising for strange.
If by that you mean, like, probably catching Pikmins or Pidgeys, then yeah, I guess.
Those kind of chicks.
Yeah. Actually, this would have been my senior year of high school, and I honestly have no clue of what video game I was playing at that point. Probably something on PlayStation 2. NBA Street, probably.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, just think, if you had mastered that physics class, you could have beaten Umehara Kawase.
Oh, yeah.
So now you're regretting all your past shortcomings.
Yeah. I would have been able to show off. That was like when Super Nintendo emulation was becoming a big thing.
It could have been your senior project.
Yeah. Oh, Steve, I'll go to the prom with you. You can beat Japanese import games on ZSNES.
Oh my god!
What the ladies want?
Yeah.
Oh, this game's so cute. Yeah. So are you.
Oh god. So, I don't know. Todd, did you get any further than the boss?
No, I got to the boss and I barely beat that first tadpole boss. And I just looked it up. And the remaining bosses in this game are also combinations of different tadpoles.
Well,
you know, there's not much variation. Oh, there's a giant crab too, it looks like. But it's such a bizarre game. This is one where I just looked at the TV Tropes website for this one, and it has an anti-climax in this game. First of all, there's no story to be had at all. You're just a girl with a fishing hook and dodging fishmen. And then the game just ends. There's one stage where after you beat a boss, there's still like a few more stages, and then you get to just go into some door like any other. And it turns out it's the final stage, and the credits roll.
Yep. What? That's insane.
That's nice.
Oh.
Hmm.
So maybe Todd's story isn't so accurate.
Well, that's when her captor came to the room for the daily session.
Oh God.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my
dark.
God.
I like it.
Well, maybe that's what these tadpole bosses are. They represent her coming of age. She has to defeat the younger version of these fish in order to fully, I don't know where I'm going with this. Everything I think of to say sounds terrible.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, she's beating up fish people.
That's all. Kyle, how far in this one did you get? Did you get to the boss roughly?
I actually beat it using save states, but
that doesn't
count.
No, it still counts because we will use save states as well and still get frustrated.
Yeah, we're in the modern times. We're modern men. We can abuse save states.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't think I've 4 hours.
Really?
And then I watched a 4-minute speed run and it made me sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, this game is kind of like the old Super Metroid and some other games where you can just do sequence breaking and get to like these really cool warp spots and just beat the game in about 5 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like you keep. I've heard before that there's like multiple exits and stuff. So I guess if you're like super skilled with that grappling hook, you can get to like further doors that get you through faster or something.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So you're not really quote unquote beating it. You're just taking shortcuts.
Well, yeah, but it's, you know, it's like shortcuts in Mario 2 or even Mario 1.
Like are there speed runs where people actually go through every stage?
Oh, well those are called long runs, I think. And yeah, they exist.
Okay.
You actually can't go through every stage in one playthrough.
Oh. Well, I mean like a normal path. I guess there is no normal path. I guess that's the point.
Yeah. But no, there's variations on that because that's like when we play games for this show, and I can't get through, sometimes I'll look at some of those where they purposely try to play through the game normal versus like speedrun you can just do whatever you want to get through it as fast as you want. Link to the Past, there's like one where the guy beats the game in like 5 minutes because he uses a glitch to get to the pyramid at the end.
I don't count those. That's absurd.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, I wanna see it all.
Get all the dungeons, beat all the bosses, then get back to me, Mr. Glitch.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is a game that made my thumb hurt because like trying to like spin the right direction on the pad while shooting the hook out, it takes a lot of skill. Just trying to get the right jumps and stuff. So would you consider this like a puzzle platformer? Like what?
It's a puzzler. It's a puzzler platformer, exactly.
Because you got to get to the right. Okay, because you got to get to the right spots using the right techniques and whatnot. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
you got to get your fish hook at the right angle and swing around at the right velocity, and it's a puzzler.
Yeah, little puzzle.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know. One thing that frustrated me at times, but I also kind of liked, was that there's not always an obvious solution, like how to get somewhere. You just kind of have to throw that hook out. You have to experiment, kind of.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, bounce from one wall to the other because she. The other thing is the title character. She cannot really jump at all. Like it's like she has like a little hop, and that's it. It's like so unlike a normal video game.
Yeah, most platformers you're jumping around like crazy, but her real skill obviously is that fishing hook. So
yeah,
you can't rely on the jump. Like you can like climb up a ledge if it's short enough, but you got to be able to swing that thing around.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead, Steve.
No, go ahead.
One of my most hated, but I can see why, things is it's a one-hit death. You have no life, you have no energy bar, like you get hit by an enemy, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it makes sense in this kind of thing, but it got frustrating sometimes because fish will just suddenly appear in front of you. So if you're swinging the wrong way or let go at a certain point, like a fish will just spawn on the platform and you're dead. Yeah. And that got super annoying.
No, I agree. I think the stage that frustrated me the most was the one there's a bunch of like octopuses and they shoot ink out at you.
Exactly.
And the ink can kind of come from off screen, and I don't think the ink kills you, but it knocks you off ledges and then you just fall into the water and die.
Yeah. There was a point where I got past like three of them, and then like another one shot the ink at me, and it made me like stun me and made me fall, and then hit more ink that stunned me and made me fall again. And I chained down like three different ink clouds until I hit the water at the bottom and died. And there was nothing I could do about it the entire time.
Nice.
They just rapid fire inked me to the bottom, to a watery grave.
Nice. No, it reminded me of some of our more frustrating enemies that we've had, like the old Medusa heads from Castlevania, and the bats in every single game ever.
Yeah, there wasn't quite bats in this, but yeah, just that frustrating like sudden spawning or ink cloud stunning kind of thing, or those barrels of fish. Right? It wouldn't kill you, but they would also stun you.
Yes.
I think that's what happened. The fish jumped out of that barrel, stunned me off of a ledge, and then I fell into like three different ink clouds. Mm-hmm. So it's just a chain of events. It just was not fun.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's when things like started getting hard. Difficult.
Mm. Yes, and this game gets difficult like in stage, I don't know, 3, 4? Like it is not much of a warm-up.
A little bit. I mean, it's a bit of a warm-up. It's like the enemies are slow for a little bit, and then you can just kind of hook them around and shove them in your backpack. But yeah, once it starts picking up, then it gets real difficult.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Huel, did you get a proper rating for this manual, or is it just too inconclusive?
Do you even give it
a Mario 2?
So I did get the original manual in Japanese. There is some fun artwork, a lot of good. There seems to be a listing of enemies where they just show in-game screenshots. I'll show you that they show a crab, they show the goldfish, the mollusk thing that climbs on walls, the eel guy, the fish barrels. Apparently there's ducks at some point, or maybe flying fish.
Mm-hmm.
And what are those? Sea urchin, I think.
Yeah, the little spikies.
Things with the little pink tentacles and whatnot. Whatever they are. But a lot of artwork showing like how to use the hook and like different skills you can do. But I think my favorite part of this manual is that it tells you what TNN stands for, the developer of this game. And apparently it means think about needs of notice for human being.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it all makes sense now.
Yeah.
Think about needs
of notice.
Of notice.
For human being.
Human beings. Oh, yeah, that's what that last N stands for.
No, human being.
Human being.
One.
Yes, it's just yourself, a very selfish slogan. So I don't know if it's a slogan or if that's what it actually stands for, but it's something for all of us to think about.
Mm.
And the page numbers at the bottom have little fish hooks on them. So I thought that was nice.
Oh,
that's sweet.
What a nice little touch.
So yeah, this is a 31-page manual of mostly stuff I can't read. But the artwork's fun. The diagrams of how to use the fish hook are fun. And I'm sure it gives a deep and rich backstory on what's going on here.
I would hope so for 31 pages, since really... Yeah. As we've said, the controls are just, there's a jump button and a hook button. That's it.
Right, but there's so much you could do just with that. I'm going to give it just a solid 2.5 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Ooh, right down the middle.
Yeah. I mean, nothing great, nothing terrible. With an asterisk, because I don't know what's going on.
Wow. Well, That's how the Mario 2's scale works. 2.5 out of 5 is average. But what about the DuckTales scale?
Yes.
Oh, what, good, how good many, question.
How many DuckTales does it
Well, want? You guys know that I factor in two things when I consider when I consider games.
I'm never sure.
On the DuckTales scale. First of all is nostalgia. Do I have nostalgia for this game? Second is replayability. But it's also equally as important. So nostalgia and replayability.
Okay.
That being said, I have no nostalgia for this thing because this is my first time playing it this week. But replayability, man, I think this has it. It has high replayability. You can figure out different ways, get your skills down, improve on your skills.
Yeah.
It's got some high replayability there. That being said, I'd give it a 0.65 DuckTale.
Whoa!
Wow.
Oh.
That's one of our higher ones.
For it's high up there, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we've been playing some stinkers lately, though. So, does that affect the score? Just...
It might, you know, we have been playing some stinkers lately, and, you know, I've done years of research on all these games, and years of charts and scientific research, and it's brought me to this point, but keep in mind, I also make these up right before I say them, so I have no idea what the other scores were either. So.
Okay. But it's an experience thing. Like, you have that right because of all your...
Yeah.
Research that you've invested in this scale and
That's
other
right.
games.
That's right.
Okay. Right. Okay.
You're telling me you don't have like a murder board, but it's a DuckTales board where you just keep the score of every game ranked on there?
It's all in my head. All in my head.
Lots of so much yarn.
I mean, there's one expert on this call and it's me. And okay. I know it.
Well,
sorry, fellas.
Hmm.
Well, at least he apologized.
Yeah, all right then. Well, just moving along to where this series is now. The original game was followed by sequels for the PlayStation in 1997 and the PSP in 2008. Thanks to the internet and emulation, though, the series became something of a cult classic, even in the United States. As a result, an American port finally came out for the 3DS in March 2014 under the title Yumi's Odd Odyssey. A later port to the PlayStation Vita changed the title back to Umihara Kawazi.
Kawazi. And also, you don't have it in here, but all of these games have been ported to Steam on the old PC with achievements added to them.
Oh, man.
Did you play that version or the emulated version?
Oh, the emulated one. Unfortunately, I wanted the authentic experience. Close as I could get.
No cheeves, though.
No cheeves, but there's no way I'm getting cheeves in this game. It's a toughie. It's a tough one.
Is it translated on Steam?
Probably is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I believe so.
I'm going to assume.
Yeah, well, once they made that first one for English languages, March 2014, I think they also translated some of the older ports.
Okay.
Like they've basically been churning out some re-releases here, the old Nashville Network.
Yes.
So
the Nashville Network.
Yeah, they lost Monday Night Raw, and then since then they've just been pushing
languishing.
Out. Yeah. Just been pushing out Umihara sequels.
Now, does that company still exist to this day?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good ask.
No, they shut down.
Ah. Really?
Yeah, they made one more game and then they shut down.
Hmm.
Yeah, I did notice that one of the later ports was put out by Natsumi, who I think does Harvest Moon or something like that. So
correct.
I assume that they might not be around so much anymore.
What other... Well, I mean, it's useless to me, but what other kind of games did they make? This TNN.
Oh, I don't know.
Kyle, any idea? Game. Oh.
And that was it.
Oh, what was that? What was that game series we found before that was like horse track racing?
Oh.
But like, But like all the covers were like this scantily clad model.
Yeah.
For no with like that? A with like a jockey hat. It yeah. made no sense at all. That just flashed back into my head. Oh my god.
I don't know, but when it comes to
they made like 20 of them.
Yeah. When it comes to genres that are pretty big in Japan and have no traction at all over here, I think horse racing games are probably at the top of the list.
Exactly.
I don't know. That episode, we also went down a rabbit hole where we just discovered that there were like dozens of these games.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They made so many.
Not even in that series, though. Like I would. Yeah. There's like a dozen Maddens and FIFAs nowadays. Sure. But
oh, did someone invent that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah, big on the old horse racing out there. So.
Hilarious. The Madden of horse racing. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, Todd found a photo and he shared it.
Derby Stallion Gold.
Oh my god, for the Nintendo 3DS.
Wow.
They're still making these. Yes, it has a
3DS.
It has a happy Japanese woman who I don't know how to describe her outfit. It looks like a lady in a pink leotard, yet she also has a bikini bottom on.
Like over top of it, yeah.
Yes, like she's wearing both.
And she's wearing horse racing boots and helmet.
Oh, yeah.
Helmet.
And goggles.
Gets me.
Yes.
Yeah, you gotta protect yourself out there.
When she's done with the shoot, she's going to get right back on her stallion. So, because the game being advertised is Derby Stallion Gold.
Right.
So, I don't know. So, wait, was this game released in the U.S.? Or did someone just translate the title?
No. Translate what? No, like it's only in Japan. They might have released one or two of them in the U.S., but
then why is there like English lettering on the front of the case?
Because Japan people can read English letters.
Japan people.
Oh, I didn't realize the Japan people could do that. Now I feel bad.
They have they always have just like random English phrases in their stuff. Like think about need for hold on, what was it called? Think about needs of notice for human being is in English on the front of the manual here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, how about that?
So, like, most of it will be in Japanese, but they'll just have English phrases in there.
Mm.
So, the title, Derby Stallion Gold.
Oh. And I see that apparently this is based on a movie, according to Todd.
Mm-hmm.
He shared a DVD cover of The Derby Stallion starring Zac Efron.
Yeah. And fake Danny Glover.
Oh, I was going to say fake Cosby because the guy's name the guy's name is Bill Cobbs.
Bill Cobbs. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
His poor career.
Yeah.
And fake Amy Adams.
Yeah. Tanja Walker or Tanya Walker.
Tanja.
I'm Tanja.
Oh, Bill Cobbs. Sorry about that, career buddy.
Poor Billy Cobbs.
Poor Bill Cobbs.
Yeah.
I'm so glad everyone can see these.
Oh, we're not doing a picture show?
Yeah. It's our first video cast.
By the way, it's not Tanya. It really is Tanja Walker.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
The heart
Anyways.
Of a boy, the soul of a champion.
Derby Stallion.
So anyways, Umihara. We should mention comment of the week from Discord. Fourth hand. Friend of the show that this game has a good soundtrack.
Oh my
yeah, God. It does. It has some kicking tunes. It's a great soundtrack.
Yeah, that snifferoo really highlighted it last week.
Yeah. And it is a pretty cool looking game. Like just artistically, it kind of has like a distinctive, kind of nice, colorful little jaunt here.
Right. Yeah, it's cartoonish, but still not like kiddie, but just like stylistic.
Yes.
I mean, some of those fish creatures are weird as hell looking, so it's a fun contrast.
Yes. Yeah, I think we may have mentioned this before, that 16-bit games, I feel like the graphics hold up way better than the generations before and after. Like, NES is a little too old, and N64 and PlayStation, they just got too many polygons.
I feel like PlayStation 1 games, like, age the worst. Like, those are some of the worst graphics, like, in history.
Yeah, like a lot of them, you're like, wow, how did we ever think these boxy things were ever cool?
How could I see anything? Like, how did I know what that was? Like, Metal Gear Solid, like, especially, is like some of the most pixelated, terrible textured graphics you'll ever see.
Mm.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that first one for the PlayStation is a little rough.
Still an amazing game. Don't get me wrong. Looks terrible.
It's pretty good for a sneak 'em up.
Yeah.
A sneak 'em up.
A classic sneak 'em up.
Yeah. Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say about this one?
No, it's a fun little romp. It's a jaunt. It's a great time. I will be going back and playing this one again. I want to kind of get my fishing skills down and see if I can get any further. This is a good one. I tried this one out with the kids. We just jumped right in. We jumped right in without doing any research or any looking at anything about this game, and tried to figure out how to get up on the ledges and how to reel in and reel out. That took a while. but yeah, it was a fun time. Good game. Good game.
Were you better, or was Sunny Boy better at this?
Well, they're barely they're barely human at this point, so I think I have a little bit more skill than them.
Oh, nice. Oh, I'm looking at the Chiefs right now for Umihara. And the most common one only 15% of people get, which is Tadpole, which I'm assuming means that they beat the first boss.
Possibly, yeah.
15%?
Yeah, 15% of people who bought the game. So, and the one after that is The Way, which 4.5% of people have gotten to, which is reach one of the endings.
Wow. So,
and let's see, clear all of the doors is the rarest achievement, 1.2% of all players. So, I mean, this is really, you can use save states to get through it, but otherwise, there's really no way to cheat your way through this one. Like, there's no power-ups. You just gotta have skill over your hook.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, Kyle, was there anything else you wanted to say about this one here?
No, it's just really good. So if you haven't played it yet, you guys should go play it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. Huel, anything else you wanted to add this week?
No, it's really fun. One thing that bothered me was the heads-up display is in the way almost all the time.
Oh yeah, it's in the center of the screen practically.
Yeah, like your score and like I don't know what the other numbers meant, but I don't know what else there was besides score. But like I guess lives. But yeah, it's like just put that stuff in the top. What's going on?
There is a clock, but I always found I didn't come close to hitting the time limit because I would always die before it anyway. So.
Yeah, or I would just spam save states, and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
That's all.
Well, let's move right along then to the email portion of the show. Letters.
sacks of letters.
Todd, did you receive any emails?
You know what? I did. And it's from a new writer, and they write, "Can't bring myself to finish a game. I have this weird situation where I only play multiplayer PvP games. I just can't bring myself to play SP games, even if I only need a couple more missions to finish them. When I open them by mistake or for some other reason, though, I can't stop playing and just do like 8 missions in a row and play all day. Currently, I'm experiencing this with Far Cry 4. Da Fook is going on. John from St. Louis."
Oh, John. Okay. Well, he's lucky this isn't an ask, because then we'd have to keep him anonymous. This is simply an email.
This is just an email, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
A game-related email, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. As they all are.
What was his actual ask?
He
can't bring himself to finish single-player games. He only plays multiplayer games. But when he does open them, he can't stop playing a single-player game.
Okay. Here's what you do. You get a big like lottery wheel, one of those big spin-the-wheel-make-a-deal things, mm-hmm. and you just put all the games you own on it.
Yeah.
And every Halloween time you want to play... Yeah. you put Strap Match, you put Warcraft, you put them all in there. So you spin the wheel, and whatever it lands on is what you're going to play. Because that way, you know already that if you start playing something, you're going to like it. Or you're going to keep playing it, and you'll have fun. So this will force
spin
you...
Spin the wheel.
Make a deal. This will force you to start playing some of those other ones, and then you'll have more fun.
It's a meta game.
Right.
Lately, I've been trying to empty my queue, and I've purchased like one game in the past 3 or 4 months.
Oh, is that uncommon?
Yeah, because in the past I would be like, oh, this game went on sale, and I have wanted to play it, so let me just buy it.
Oh, $7, why not?
Also, there's a new indie Humble Bundle that comes out every month that gives you 10 more games for $10.
Oh, God. I know, and so many of them are, like, I just have to resist buying them. Like, I've now gotten a couple different coupons for Civ 6, and I've just, I haven't pulled the trigger because I'm like, you know what, I got other games I got to get through, so.
Because you know once you start playing that, it'll be like 200 hours.
Yeah, it'll be 3 months of my life. And the one I saw today, going around on the onlines, is Horizon Zero Dawn is like $20 now.
Yeah, it's getting a lot of buzz. Or got a lot of buzz, I should say, because it's been out
months. Well, yeah, because they want you to get that DLC.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. That's the key, guys. Always wait until the first DLC is released for a game to buy it, because it'll be dirt cheap.
Yeah, Fallout 4 did the same thing, I think.
Well, some you can't wait for.
Well, yeah, true.
I mean.
Kyle, did you have an answer for that question? Any thoughts on balancing games here?
Just do it. Jeez.
Yeah, I like it.
That's a difficult thing. Just play the game.
Play the game, man. Just do it.
Just play it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not the ask for the Ask the Sweet Boys portion of the show, but I think he's saying is just quit your job, dump your wife, and play games.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Like it's a good idea.
He seems to like it.
Mm-hmm. Huel, did you receive any emails this week?
Yeah, I got an email. It's interesting, so I'll read it now. Dear YPB Podcast, we need your help. We're in a dilemma. Former guest Hawk is grabbing too many scrolls. We need him to play another game for a while. Can you book him as a guest more so he has something different to play? He's grabbing too many scrolls. He grabs them all. He grabs them all before we get a chance to. We just want a chance. Signed, Hawk's Elder Scrolls Online Guild. Also, also, what's your favorite thing to collect in a video game?
Besides scrolls, gotta get all them scrolls,
besides
man.
Besides grabbing scrolls, what's your favorite thing?
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, Huel, did you want to go? Did you want to go first? I've heard that you've been grabbing some things lately.
I have. I've been chucking caps and grabbing power moons in Super Mario Odyssey. But my favorite thing to collect in that game is every land has their own unique currency. So, like, you get, like, general coins in, like, normal Mario games, like, all over the place. But then every different world has their own money that you can collect to buy different things that no one needs. And it's awesome. Getting little purple hats or purple nuts or purple seashells. Little nuts, like nuts and bolts. So there's like a robot world in a forest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Little nuts. Little purple nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, finding those is fun because they're like in
different
places.
Do you also get little blue balls?
No, that's not actually one of the currencies, no.
Maybe in the next game.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm grabbing all sorts of things in Mario Odyssey.
Oh, God, I'm kind of envious. I made fun of the Switch mercilessly when I first saw the announcements, but now I'm like, ah, oh, you know what, damn it, I mean, who doesn't want a Mario game?
Let me tell you, these three games are worth it.
It'll just be those three games for another year or two, but
that's all I need.
Yeah, that's true. So what the ask was, favorite things to collect in video games?
Yeah.
Oh, well, besides Kyle, Kyle, you're a guest. Did you have any thoughts on this one? I scramble for an answer.
And the only good thing about the Assassin's Creed games to me is climbing up to the really tall buildings, you know, and getting all those, I forgot what they're called, watch outs or whatever.
Oh, the lookout, some the lookout of points. The
map. Yeah, lookout points.
Yeah,
those are fun.
Because not only do you get something checked off the list, but you get to get a view.
Yeah. Get a scenic view.
And jump into some hay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Nothing breaks your fall better than a pile of hay. From 700 feet in the air.
It's real life.
Yeah.
I have two answers. Now, there's one thing. It wasn't the ask, but one thing I hated collecting was those goddamn Riddler question marks in the first Batman
Arkham Asylum.
Yeah,
they're,
Asylum.
Well, they're in every of those Arkham games.
Yeah,
are they?
Yeah.
I was trying to do my best to platinum that game, so I was like trying to find all of them, and even with a like guide, I could not find them. I finally had to like use a video guide for the last couple ones I was missing.
Yeah.
No, I was going to bring that one up as mine, in that I do like those because each one is a different puzzle you got to solve.
Yeah, it's so
satisfying.
I like
figuring out how to collect each one. You got to do something different on each one. It's a lot of fun for me.
I'm on Todd's side here.
It was so frustrating because the in-game thing just tells you like when one's in a room.
Right.
And then there's like no clue where it is in that room. Like,
oh, you just want your hand held. Steve,
a little bit
the
like
sense
when
of accomplishment,
like when I've already beaten the game and that kind of stuff. Like, hey, help a guy out.
I think I know what it is.
In the second one, Arkham City and beyond, they all appear exactly on the map where they are, so you don't have to search around as hard for them. But they're still puzzlers. You got to figure out how to open that cage to get it.
Steve is a PlayStation guy. He gets trophies. He's used to just getting a little award whenever he does something good, little participation trophy. But if you play it on Xbox, these are achievements. These are something you have to do. These are something you earn.
That is an important distinction.
Get your little trophies. Get your little ribbons. That's all you want.
Yeah, I never really thought of it that way, but yeah, you're correct.
Absolutely.
Oh, and the ones I actually do like collecting are the bobbleheads in the old Fallout games.
Mm, that's a good one.
Because there is a trophy assigned to it. And also, a lot of them are in just kind of cool places that are kind of off the beaten path in that game.
Sure. Yeah. And also, they give you a skill up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Always useful.
My favorite one is probably in Fallout 4, you have to go to the old Spectacle Island to get the luck bobblehead. And that doesn't even look like it's on the map. It's only like this tiny sliver on like the corner of the map.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to swim out there, and there's a luck bobblehead and a giant mire lurk. So it's like, oh, this is nice. I'm glad I visited.
How lucky.
So, Todd, was your answer the Riddler?
Well, that was going to be my obvious choice answer, but my unobvious choice answer, it's from a little indie joint I don't think I've ever brought up before on this show. Little indie darling called Crusader Kings 2. In that one, you're out to get all your prestige points. You collect prestige points by expanding your empire, your dynasty, and becoming the best there that ever lived.
Oh. I thought you were going to say collecting wives.
Well, that factors into it. The more, if you're playing as a Muslim ruler, the more wives you have, respect you earn, the faster your prestige points go up.
That makes sense.
Sounds like a very culturally sensitive game.
Or accurate.
Well, Kyle, I have two questions. One. Have you played Crusader Kings 2?
No.
All right.
Don't worry, you're not alone.
Yep. And two, we did not publicize your appearance at all, but did you receive any emails for the show?
Nope.
Oh, well, that is not surprising then.
No.
But this reminds me, why don't you give us a plug for your show right now?
All right.
I mentioned it at the top, but give us the pitch.
Yeah, I'm one half of the Vaguely Entertaining podcast, where we take a vague description of a movie or game and then match other ones with it. So, like, for Umihara Kawase, it would be, the one with the hook physics, and then we would do, like, Bionic Commando or even... like the 1989 Batman movie where he uses the grapple hook would work. Yeah, so it's like that, and we do a whole episode on one category. And you can find us on iTunes or directly on our website at vaguelyentertaining.com if it sounds cool to you.
If it sounds vaguely entertaining to us?
Just vaguely.
Just vaguely.
Yeah, I listened to your Halloween episode, so that was fun. When you matched up like family movies to actual horror movies based on like a certain category. I thought that was creative.
Yeah, it was fun to do that.
And you brought up one of my favorite shows of all time, which was Ghost Adventures. The bro ghost hunter who yells at ghosts and wears like Ed Hardy t-shirts.
He's such a jerk.
It is.
Is that a reality show? One of those reality ghost hunters?
It's like a ghost hunter show, but he's like this bro guy who like acts tough in like haunted houses, like houses that are supposed to have ghosts in them and stuff. And they go in like in the dark and like record themselves with like night vision cameras yelling at ghosts to try to get them to attack him. It's incredible.
Zach Bagans.
Zach Bagans, the Ghost Adventures bro ghost hunter. It's incredible.
Is he a hobbit?
Yes.
Yeah, Brenda Bilbo.
Yeah. I think he uses 80% of the hair gel that's sold in the United States.
Your description of that show makes me miss the soup.
it's an amazing show.
Well, that show's amazing, and also check out the Vaguely Entertaining podcast.
Yes.
Well, I received one mail. YPB boys, we have finally succeeding getting your package worth of $3.7 million out of delivery. Your ATM Visa card with the help of Mr. James George, Attorney General of Federal High Court of Justice, which act as your foreign attorney representative here in our country. Best wishes, John Cougar Mellencamps.
Oh.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, was there a question? This is, I mean, it didn't really sound like it was about video games.
No, there was no question. It was just an email.
Just in the inbox.
Yep.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Have we checked the spam filter on our inbox lately?
Yeah, but there weren't any cans of it in there. So.
Okay. Didn't get caught in there.
Oh. Right. Oh.
Got it.
It just goes on for so long.
It really does.
It's the best part of that.
It's so loud and long every time.
Yeah. I never noticed when that show was actually on. So. Oh. Man, I hope Jerry Seinfeld calls in some week. Now, that would be impressive.
Wow, that would be interesting.
Well, Todd, I don't know if we received any requests for help this week. Did you get anything there?
Oh, you know what? I do know if we got some or not, and we actually did. Somebody needs our help.
Oh.
So let us ask the Sweet Boys. If you have any questions that you need help with, any life questions, write into parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and we will answer your ask. And remember, we will keep it anonymous unless otherwise requested. So this one's from Anonymous. And it is, its subject is, I hate working, help. Okay, so I know this sounds horrible, but I hate working. I wish it were still acceptable to stay at home and clean and cook and be the perfect housewife. Does anyone have any ideas for me? Please no mean comments. I just really want to figure this out. Going to work every day and being talked to like a child by my boss is really wearing on me. I would be so content at home making food and cleaning, but I need to be able to pay my half of the rent. I just don't know what to do. Any suggestions?
You can email parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com with your personal information, and I will get back to you.
I would like to
and
add
what
that.
Else? He also requests your shoe size and your bra size.
I was just going to say, I think, Huel, you might want to specify that you want a photo included.
No.
Well, okay then. Just.
I said what I meant.
Good times. I don't know.
Okay. Like a...
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, letter writer.
I mean,
ask her.
Have you ever felt this way? Do you identify?
I know
home and cook.
When we've been talking off the air, I know that Steve always talks about how he just wants to stay at home and raise that baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to hang out with the dog and take selfies as we sleep in the bed in the morning. So, I don't know. I will say every once in a while, you know, you have one of those rough days at work and you're like, man, sometimes I wish I was just back slinging coffee or doing something where you just do something real simple. And it's easy to measure your success.
Right. How many coffees did you sling?
Yes. I think that's part of the...
Try to beat that record.
I think that's part of the reason why my reptile brain likes them clicky-clacky games so much.
Oh.
Because you're just like, oh, it's fun. It's just fun to sit here and click and watch the numbers go up a little bit.
Yeah. Once again, you want your little participation trophies.
Mm-hmm. So what I think I'm saying is that I would make a great housewife because I have a lot of Cheeves in Realm Grinder and Adventure Capitalist.
Yeah. I think it's pretty clear.
Mm-hmm. All right, then.
All righty. Well, I was going to say, you know, this is we're living in the 2010s, and you got to do your part. I mean, if you want to make a dollar to the man's dollar, you got to put your work in. So there you go.
It all starts with action.
Yeah. If you want to pay your half of the rent, you got to do it. Well, then, Todd, did you have anything else you want to say before we signed off?
I don't know if we actually helped that person, but anyway, here's what I wanted to say. That was some good rubbering action, right, fellas?
Huh.
Yeah, sure. Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah.
All right, then. Huel, how about you?
I'm just glad we finally found a game that made little pink rucksacks cool again.
Oh, they were always cool. Come on.
Ah.
Rucksacks never went out of style. Kyle, thanks again for being part of the show and guesting. Give that podcast one more plug.
Listen to us at vaguelyentertaining.com. And thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you. Oh,
yeah, it was fun. So, on that note, here's a little snifferoo from next week's game.